T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Hardin Cattles on EEI.
Ben Bolin joining me in 20 minutes. Trollin' Bolin, Hardin Cattles Sports Radio WEEI on this Saturday now afternoon. By the way, I've just realized I've done a terrible job explaining why it's just me solo today. I've mentioned it a couple of times, but the radio nerds and radio people in the business, the management, would probably say I haven't done it enough. I have worked for ESPN Radio in my past, and they would certainly be all over me. Like, why? You got to explain to people where your usual co-host is, and they would probably be right. They would probably want me to do it too much. But Andy is too busy being a dad up north this weekend. His son has a lacrosse tournament, so he is up north being a dad. So it's been me solo. We're through 3-plus hours, and I appreciate everybody listening. I appreciate everybody interacting, even if you have sent me hate texts. It's all good. Ain't too worried about it. Just keep listening. That's all I want. And we'll continue with the Patriots here in this hour. And then later on, I'm telling you, you know, if you've got a long drive, you're going to be happy, because before we wave goodbye to you on this Saturday, we have an absolutely amazing, amazing bit of audio for you coming up later this hour, and an even more amazing story. So you do not want to miss that. But let's jump into the Patriots for a few minutes. Again, Ben Bolin will join me in less than 20. You look at the Patriots, they're going to play tomorrow. According to reports, unless there are any new positives, it looks like this game will go on at 1 o'clock. I'm excited about that. I think without any new positives, it sounds like a reasonable decision to play this game, so I'm good with that. And I love 1 o'clock kicks, honestly. Like, you know, the primetime, I hate sitting through an entire Sunday just waiting for, like, a Sunday night game. Even the 4:25 kickoff bothers me. So this game, of course, originally last week was supposed to be 4:25 on Sunday. Then it was supposed to be Monday at 5 o'clock, which was ridiculous. So now you fast forward, 1 o'clock kickoff Sunday, love it. And we'll see what happens. Of course, your initial reaction looking at this game, you say Denver. Come on, Denver, give me a break. Denver's not that good, right? So let's look at it, though, piece by piece here. And let's start with the offensive line. So the Patriots, there are a number of guys who are questionable for tomorrow's game. Two of them are on the offensive line. You've got Isaiah Wynn, who is questionable, and Shaq Mason, who, of course, missed the game in Kansas City. Mason is also questionable. So right off the bat, the offensive line is going to have to adjust. They've got to deal with some kind of obstacles here again. They've got to deal with some adversity. They've been able to deal with adversity before this season relatively well. I mean, you go back to the Chiefs game, three of your starting offensive linemen were out that night when Illuminor left with a migraine, and it's like literally we're going to plug and play. Whether it's Heron, whether it's, Onwenu, whoever it is, plug and play. And the offensive line has been overall really good. If you are into analytics, and I get into analytics sometimes, I don't get as much into the analytics as I used to because I don't want to bore people. But I will tell you, like a site like Football Outsiders, that break down offensive line ratings, and they go week by week by week. The Patriots are a top 10 offensive line. So it's not just, you know, what us in New England are watching, what we see from this O-line. It is nationally. It is analytically. Pro Football Focus. I don't know how much you want to take from it, but, you know, they had Onwenu ranked as their number one rookie through the first month of the season. So, you know, above guys like Joe Burrow. Again, that's not a New England website. That's not Fitzy ranking, you know, guys, okay? That is Pro Football Focus. So their offensive line, I think they'll be able to get by, even if Wynn and Mason are out tomorrow. Yes, you know, the whole left side's banged up. You got to deal with it. Andrews is again, going to be out. So, you know, Joe Tooney, I would imagine, would be back at center. Ferentz is obviously out because of COVID. So I think you would, again, see Tooney at center. You'd see Onwenu plug into Tooney's spot. So there's going to be some maneuvering. They can get through that. For Denver, Drew Lock will be back in this game most likely. That is good news for them. He's an upgrade over Brett Rypien. He's still, I think, you know, very young. He's only played, I don't know what, 8 or 9 games in the NFL. John Elway thinks the world of him. I actually think that's a bad thing. If you look at Elway and all the quarterbacks that he's thought well of, most of them have not worked out, if not all of them. I'm not going to give John Elway credit for Peyton Manning. Manning fell into his lap, and he was Manning. He was Manning before Elway. So I'm not going to give him all the credit for that. If you look at the long lineage of quarterbacks in Denver since Elway's taken over, since Manning, it has been a dumpster fire. Brock Osweiler, the Brock star, Case Keenum, Trevor Siemian. It's been a nightmare. Which is always interesting to me. It's like how Michael Jordan can't pick talent for Charlotte. How Elway can't figure out the quarterback position is priceless. Maybe he has the right guy in Locke. Maybe. Still early. I don't want to write him off. But Locke will likely be back. Melvin Gordon, if you've missed it, today we got the news that Gordon has been diagnosed with strep throat. So he did not make the flight to New England. So there will be no Melvin Gordon. Philip Lindsay will be back for the Broncos tomorrow in the backfield. If you look at the Vegas number, it's minus 10. I feel like that's a pretty good number. I would not bet it. I stay away from double-digit spreads. They concern me unless, you know, I play a little parlay and I can get a little action and feel really good about one of them. But the Patriots at minus 10, that's where they're at. The other questionable before this game tomorrow that we got to talk about is Julian Edelman. Edelman is questionable. Now, I think that's... that's something that we've got to pay attention to. I mean, if you're looking at Edelman, we all know he's 34 years old. He's been banged up over and over and over and over again this year. He has not looked like the same guy. So he is questionable. And you've got to wonder if Edelman is out, what that means for this offense. Because if you look at Denver, they're not a great defense, but they're actually good against the run. So if the Broncos can limit the run for the Patriots, which... I don't know if they're going to be able to limit the run for the Patriots because the Patriots have been so good running the football this year. They're averaging a buck 80. I mean, that's just redonkulous. So when you look at this, though, if Denver can limit the run somewhat, now you're left with Cam in the passing game. And so if you're banking on Cam in the passing game and you don't have Edelman, well, that means we need to see some yeoman's work from N'Keal Harry, Damir Bird, Gunnar Olszewski. I would imagine that McDaniels will also utilize the running backs in the passing game if Edelman is out. I wouldn't be shocked if you saw some of the running backs, especially James White, line up in the slot if Edelman's unable to go. You'll see Olszewski in the slot as well. But N'Keal Harry is a guy I think, I don't know how all of you feel about Harry. I think he is progressing. Like every single week he's improving. And I'm kind of bullish on his improvement. He looks like he's finally figuring out some things. He's breaking more tackles. He's making more contested catches. That fade route touchdown against Kansas City was a thing of beauty. And really, ever since that final drive against Seattle when Cam threw the football to N'Keal 3 times for 33 yards, including the catch near the goal line that set up the possible winning play, which, as we all know, fell short. Ever since that game in Seattle, Harry has been a different guy. He's been a better guy. He continues to improve. And if Edelman's out tomorrow, that's one of those games. That's one of those games where you look at N'Keal, you say, hey, former first-round pick, You started to improve. Now show it. Now show the true improvement. Now show us that with Edelman out, you can take this game by the throat, and you can absolutely put your foot on that throat of Denver. This could be a big moment for N'Keal Harry tomorrow if Edelman is out of the game. Some other matchups I want to look at. The Patriots defensive backs against Denver. I mean, that is an obvious, no doubt, advantage for New England. There's no doubt the Pats defensive backs, their secondary against Denver. And, you know, maybe at the beginning of the year, you would have said it's not as much of an advantage. But right now, Cortland Sutton's out for the year. He tore his ACL. KJ Hamler, a Penn State wide receiver that they drafted last year, he's banged up. Noah Fant is also banged up. He's questionable. They're young tight end. So you've got Jerry Jeudy. And listen, I think Jerry Jeudy is one of the best route runners that I've seen in the past 10 to 15 years come out of the draft. So, you know, Jeudy is going to be a guy that you got to keep an eye on. But come on, they should be able to handle Jerry Jeudy. And I would also think, you know, you look at that Patriots front, Denver's offensive line is atrocious. I brought up Football Outsiders just a couple of minutes ago, the analytical website. Well, I'll just drop a couple of numbers on you. Ready? Denver's offensive line, according to Football Outsiders, they're 24th in pass protection. Last time I checked, being 24th in a league that has 32 teams is not very good. You know what's even worse than that, though? When your offensive line is ranked 31st against the run or for the run. So, not good, right? No bueno. They are literally the second worst run-blocking team in the entire NFL. And now they go into this game without Melvin Gordon. I know the Patriots front has had some issues against the run this year. They have no excuse to be bad tomorrow. They need to be much, much, much better tomorrow against this Denver running game. Let's not forget, Bill Belichick against young quarterbacks, he eats, right? He eats. This should be steak dinner for Belichick tomorrow against Locke. I think the Patriots, as long as Cam is healthy, ready to go, and he should be, no reason why he wouldn't be. I think this is a game that the Patriots should win. Again, I don't like betting double-digit spreads, but I do think the Patriots can win this game by a couple of touchdowns. I think it could be 27-13. I don't know how Denver is able to move the football consistently. I don't think they're going to be able to score much at all. So it should be an interesting early start here just to see Cam, you know, try to get through some of the stuff, fight through some things. And I would also mention that if Edelman is out of this game tomorrow, if he can't go, I would not be as confident in the double-digit win by the Pats. Let's go to Jack in Beckett. Jack's up next. What's up, Jack?
Hey, how you doing? Let me preface the statement by saying that I understand that Belichick is the GOAT of in-game adjustments and game planning. However, as an offensive GM, he flat out sucks. Okay, you look at the product that he's put on the field last year and what he put on the field this year with no tight ends. He's got Edelman, and he's got a banged-up Edelman and a hopeful N'Keal Harry, basically. He got lucky. Cam Newton fell in his lap, you know, so now teams have to defend against the run option. But he just flat-out got lucky. What was he planning to do if Cam Newton hadn't fallen into his lap? You know, right. Was he Mark Stidham out there? Hoyer? Was that his plan?
Jack, let me jump in. I appreciate the phone call. Enjoy the weekend, my man. What I would say is this. Belichick read the tea leaves. If you were looking around the league, it was rather obvious that there was going to be a veteran quarterback that was going to be available. And that veteran quarterback was going to be available for cheap. So what I think happened, Jack, is Belichick looked at this and said, well, I'm either going to have Andy Dalton, Cam Newton, or Jameis Winston. And I would not have been shocked if Belichick signed any one of those guys as they were left waiting. So I think Belichick was not in a rush to, you know, jump at one of those veteran quarterbacks because he looked at them and said, I'm going to have one option. I'm going to have at least one option at that position to challenge Stidham. I would also say I wouldn't evaluate Stidham based off of what we've seen this year. I don't think that's fair. I don't think it's fair because, listen, he was thrown into the Kansas City game, and he hasn't had really any reps since, you know, before the season camp and all that, before he got injured with the hip. So I think the jury is still out on Stidham. I'm not telling you he's going to be great. I'm not ready to tell you what he's going to be. And I just think, you know, you can read this a couple of different ways. You could say that, oh, well, Belichick was lucky that Cam fell into his lap. Or you can say Belichick knew the market. Belichick knew that there wasn't much interest in Cam. And let's not forget, Belichick contacted Cam's representation right around draft time. So Bill was interested. And I think Belichick understood, aside from some crazy injury, he was going to have his pick. And when Dalton was signed by Dallas, and then when Jameis went to New Orleans, I think Belichick understood that he had a really good shot at Cam. He saw all the other moves. You know, he saw Chicago picking up Nick Foles. He was well aware of that. By the way, a quick update here. College football game tonight. A lot of people would say it's the college football game of the year. Well, we just got word that Nick Saban posted a third straight negative test for COVID-19. He has been cleared to coach tonight. So Alabama, Georgia, Nick Saban on the sidelines for that game tonight. Ben Volen joins me next, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right back to Hard and Cattles on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Hard and Cattles Sports Radio, WEEI, on a Saturday morning. No Hard, busy being a dad up north. Just solo cattles with you today. I'm joined by Ben Volen, our friend. The Boston Globe, of course. Trollin Volen, as some call him. Ben, thank you for the time, my man. Simple question to start off. Should the game be played tomorrow in your eyes?
Yes. Yes, the game should be played, assuming that there's not some massive outbreak tomorrow morning or tonight, you know, 6-8 guys getting COVID. If it's just one guy, even if someone else tests positive tomorrow, yes, they should play. They have the mitigation policies in place. You know, distancing and masks and obviously testing. The whole point of doing this whole system for the NFL was that so they didn't have to stop the carousel every time there's a positive test. So even if there's, you know, one more positive, maybe even two tomorrow, as long as they're not concerned about a potential outbreak and they'd have to do all the contact tracing. But yes, they should still play this game tomorrow. I think the Broncos are going to be getting on an airplane pretty soon. They're coming out here. And the NFL, both teams and the NFL, really just want to get this game over with at this point. They've already used up the bye week by pushing this game back a week. So if they can't play this game, they'd have to move it to week 18 or do some real scheduled gymnastics. And it's just like, get this game over with already. So 1 o'clock, kick it off. Let's get this game going. It wouldn't surprise me if they use a running clock. Let's just make sure we can get this game in. But yes, assuming that there's not some crazy outbreak in the next 24 hours, they absolutely should play.
And, of course, Ben is on the Harbor One hotline. Ben, should the NFL, you just mentioned week 18, should the NFL be more proactive right now and for security blanket reasons, just add week 18 and say that's going to be there in case we run into a case where there's, you know, two teams that already had their bye, we just have week 18?
Yeah, so obviously having a week 18 is a contingency plan for the NFL, and they definitely have spent a lot of time coming up with all sort of contingencies, but there's no need to go there yet. Now, look, if today's game got canceled and neither team has a bye week anymore, then, yeah, you might have to do something like that. But, you know, prolonging the season amid the pandemic is only asking for trouble. Who's to say that the conditions are going to be any better in January than they are now? Why put off something to tomorrow that you can get done today? And the NFL still has a lot of cushion left. 26 teams have still not used their bye week yet. So
I think
they need to exhaust all their other options first, you know, taking a sledgehammer to the schedule, moving bye weeks around. They still have other cushion in the schedule. So they don't need to create the week 18 yet. But obviously it's going to get to a point where they're moving games around and there are no more bye weeks where they're going to have to do that. So, it's definitely on the table, but it's one of those don't use it until you absolutely have to.
Ben Volen with us here on Heart and Cattles. No heart, just cattles. Ben, has COVID created a stronger bond, you think, between Belichick and his players this year?
It does seem like the players have a lot more faith and buy-in and respect for everything that's going on. And it does seem like Belichick is you know, really putting the team first as opposed to, well, we just got to, you know, we can play through COVID or whatever. Like, Belichick, from all accounts, has done a lot of research and has put a lot of effort into maintaining the Patriots protocols. And from what I've been told, he's been very vocal with the league in the last couple of weeks on phone calls, you know, talking through all the options. I don't think the players or the coaches were too thrilled about having to go to Kansas City. And I don't know if Belichick was either, to be honest. And so, yes, I definitely think there's a lot more buy-in from the team this year because they just believe that Belichick has their best interest at heart.
All right, let's get away from COVID. Let's get to actual football now. Ben, did you want to see Le'Veon Bell on this roster?
Yeah, I did. I definitely wouldn't have been against it. And I know, you know, they have a very crowded running back room already, but it's all about adding talent, and the Patriots could use more of it on offense. And Bell is not just a running back. I think he's a weapon in the passing game, and he's someone you could put him and James White in the backfield at the same time, or you could put Le'Veon Bell out in the slot. So that, you know, I definitely would have been all for the Patriots going to sign him. Now, I understand from Bell's perspective, maybe, you know, I think Kansas City is kind of like the new Patriots. Kansas City is where you go when you want to put up stats and play on national TV and look good for your next contract. So I think he probably feels like Kansas City is going to be the best option for him to put up numbers and get that next contract. But, you know, to me, it's all about being positionless. You can't say, well, we have four running backs, so we're good. The Patriots, they need talent, especially in the passing game. And I would have been all for it. So, look, I'm not crushing them at all by not going out and signing Le'Veon Bell. The fact that he signed for the minimum for the Chiefs shows you that it wasn't necessarily about the money, but maybe he just wanted to go play in Kansas City. But I do think the Patriots still need more talent in the passing game, and you don't know how injuries are going to go in COVID, and Bell is a talented player. So I would have liked to see them make the move, but, you know, I'm not going to crush them for not signing him.
Ben Volen from the Globes on the Harbor One Hotline with us here, Heart and Cattle Sports Radio, WEEI. What's the biggest need for this team right now, Ben?
It's got to be tight end. Tight end is such a black hole for them right now, and I bet you they probably expected it a little bit going into the season, where if you have three guys and two of them are rookies, you're probably not going to get a whole lot out of the position. I feel like tight end, maybe other than quarterback, is the toughest position to transition to in the NFL. Just, you know, there's so many more added responsibilities for these guys in the run game. And you have to learn the run game and the passing game, and you have to, you know, strengthen up, put on some weight from college to the pros, and they didn't have a typical, you know, off season this year. So, you know, you're not getting much out of Devin Asiasi or Dalton Keene. And, you know, you go back and even look at, like, Rob Gronkowski. He scored a lot of touchdowns as a rookie, but overall, his receiving numbers were still kind of low.
Right.
So I think they were expecting tight end to be kind of a black hole where, you know, Ryan Izzo is really the only guy playing regularly right now, and he's just a blocking tight end. You know, there are other ways to move the ball. They don't necessarily need the tight end, but if they went out at the trade deadline, I would think that would be the position. You know, maybe David Njoku from Cleveland, he's someone I've had my eye on for a while. Or, you know, maybe the Falcons might be selling off some pieces now that they're 0-5. So tight end to me would be the one position where the Patriots could seriously use an upgrade.
Ben, overall, when you look at this team, I mean, we've seen them play four games now. Tomorrow will be number five. So they're a quarter of the way through their regular season. How do you feel about them so far?
I feel pretty good, to be honest. You know, even though they're 2-2, this could easily be 4-0 right now. I mean, they were one play away from beating Seattle. I thought that was kind of a big statement game, that they're not going to be intimidated by playing tough teams on the road, that Cam Newton can still sling it. I mean, 397 passing yards. And again, one play, they convert that goal line play. I mean, that's a huge, huge win for them. And then even Kansas City, they went into a very difficult environment with Brian Hoyer, and the game was close until the end, until it got out of hand with some turnovers. If Cam Newton played in that game, I felt pretty good about how the Patriots would have played. We'll see how they do with all this time off now. It probably gets them out of their rhythm a little bit, but you know, the offensive line has been very promising. They're plugging guys in like Michael on Wayne New and Justin Heron, and the offensive line has been great. You know, Joe Tooney had to play center against the Raiders, and they rushed for over 200 yards. Cam Newton, having a running mobile quarterback, is, you know, just changes the entire equation for the offense, giving them an extra blocker. I think Cam has solved a lot of their short yardage rushing issues, the Seattle game notwithstanding. And, you know, the issue is going to be the defense, the front seven. Can they get any pressure on the quarterback? Can the secondary, you know, they got carved up pretty good against Seattle, but I thought they came back and played much better against Kansas City. So I like where the Patriots are. And, you know, the fact that Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore already got COVID, that might be a good thing. Now they don't really have to deal with it for the next few months. They don't have to go through testing for 90 days, and I don't think they really have to worry about getting it again. So it may have been a benefit for the Patriots to having their star players getting COVID early in the season. But I like where they're standing. And you know, when Bill Belichick's your coach in a season like this, he himself is going to be good for probably two or three extra wins. So, you know, I think Buffalo's going to fall back to the pack a little bit. And I like the way the Patriots are trending right now.
His name is Ben Volen from the Boston Globe on the Harbor One Hotline. Thanks, Ben. Catch up with you soon.
All right, Cattles. Be good, buddy.
You too, bud. So there he goes, Ben Volen. Quick hang up by Ben Volen. Trolling Volen with the quick hang up. Click. Thank you. See ya. All right. Ryan, here it is. The moment that we've all been waiting for, my friend. We'll have a voicemail for all of you that you do not want to miss. Trust me when I tell you an unbelievable story with an incredible voicemail. We have audio of that. It's next on Heart and Cattle Sports Radio WEEI.
Saturday calls for more sports talk, and we got it for you right here. Back to Heart and Cattles on EEI.
I've been waiting for this all day. I've been waiting for this story. Let's go to Anchorage, Alaska, Ryan DeFelice. Of course, Laird and Fitzy coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Ethan Berkowitz, the top elected Democrat in Alaska, submitted his resignation to the Anchorage Assembly on Tuesday night, just days after he vehemently denied allegations by Your Alaska Link anchor, Maria Athens, that he had posted nude photos of himself on an underage website. No bueno. The mayor's resignation followed Berkowitz's jaw-dropping admission on Monday that he was involved in an inappropriate sexting, he called it messaging, an inappropriate messaging relationship, with Athens, the anchor of a combined Fox ABC station in Anchorage. She says their relationship started in 2016, declined to say whether it ever became sexual in nature. It all began last Friday in the morning when Athens allegedly placed a profanity and racist-laden phone call to Berkowitz. And lucky us, Brian, lucky us, we actually have, this is the actual voicemail from Maria Athens to the mayor of Anchorage, Alaska, Ethan Berkowitz.
Ethan, it's Maria Athens from Fox ABC, CW, Newsnet, National Alaska. I just learned through my Emmy award-winning journalism, you're also a pedophile in, like, little girls and children. And there's a website. I'm so exposing you. I'm going to get an Emmy. So you either turn yourself in, kill yourself, or do what you need to do.
Yikes.
I will personally kill you and Mara Kimmel, my goddamn self, you piece of living. You have met your match, mother. You have met your mother. Max, I can't believe I am such a good person and thought I loved you. I don't even hate you. I will pray for your Zionist ass, you piece of loser.
Wow.
And I'm putting this on the news tonight. Bye. Have a great Friday, you mother.
Whoa. I love in the middle of it, she's like, I'm a good person or I'm a great person. You just literally said you were going to murder him and somebody else. You're a great person. You literally just left a voicemail saying everything you just said. And in the middle of the voicemail, she sprinkles how she's a great person. And then she says that she wants to kill him, but she's going to pray for him. I don't know. Bat bleep crazy. The other part of this story, because as if that voicemail isn't bad enough. I mean, if I got a voicemail like that, I'd go straight to the cops. And if they didn't figure it out, I would be leaving Anchorage. Even in the middle of a global pandemic, my ass would be out of there. But aside from that, just unbelievable voicemail. The other part of the story is what happened after Athens ended up posting photos of allegedly Berkowitz's naked backside online. So get this. So she does the voicemail and all that. She posts the photos of Berkowitz's backside naked. And then she and the station's manager that she worked at, who is her boyfriend, by the way. So her boyfriend is the manager of the station that she works at, and she's the anchor at. So they end up getting into an argument while driving in Anchorage. He makes her get out of the car and told her that she was barred from returning to the station. So they're driving, and he says, get out of my car. You're done. Don't return to the station because we don't want you back at this Fox ABC station in Anchorage. So he kicks her out of the car. Nevertheless, she actually went back to the television studio and attacked this dude. So she leaves that voicemail. She's driving in Anchorage with her boyfriend, who happens to be her manager at the station. They get into an argument while they're driving around. Not a surprise after listening to that voicemail, right? They get into an argument. He kicks her out of the car and tells her, don't ever return to the station. You're donezo. She says, no, screw you. I'm going back to the television studio. And not only am I going to show up to the studio, I am going to attack you. Police end up arriving. She hits an officer trying to arrest her. She's placed in full restraint after she tried to kick out the back window of the police cruiser with her high heels. Think about everything in this person's life right now. She's sexting with the mayor. The mayor, I guess, says goodbye. She calls him, threatens his life in that crazy voicemail you just heard. Then she gets into a fight, an argument with her current boyfriend, who happens to be her manager at the television station. The manager at the television station, also current boyfriend, kicks her out of the car. She makes her way back to the station, even though the boyfriend slash manager tells her don't even come back. Don't return. She shows back up. She gets into a fight with the boyfriend slash station manager. Then the cops show up. She hits an officer. They throw her in the back of the vehicle. She tries to kick out the window, so they have to put full restraints on her. Athens was charged with assault, criminal mischief, and disorderly conduct. And she was released after posting bail. My goodness, that's a lot. My goodness. From the 401, that was a magnificent voicemail. Perhaps she should consult a professional. Yes. From the 413, that was my girlfriend, bro. Yikes. Yikes. From the 207, don't be defending a pedophile. I don't think I'm defending a pedophile. Come on, people. Come on. She said he's a pedophile. Doesn't necessarily mean that he's a pedophile. Did you hear the rest of the story? I don't know if I would take her word for it. From the 617, let's hope she never loses her job because I don't think anyone would ever hire her. At least I wouldn't. I would guess she lost the job. The boyfriend and the manager said, don't come back. She shows up. She gets into a fight. She fights a cop. She tries to kick out a window. I'm just guessing she's gone. Just guessing she's out. I'll tell you, man. Oh, boy. What a story. What a story. Athens. Maria Athens. And Ethan Berkowitz. Well, it did not... That relationship did not end like a Hallmark movie, for sure. Something went horribly wrong. Stay out of her way, by the way. Stay out of her way. From the 401, just another day in Alaska. Nothing to see here. Oh, man. Thanks for hanging with me over the past few hours. Thanks to Brian DeFelice, Behind the Glass. Great job. Coming up next, it's Laird and Fitzy. Everybody, enjoy your weekend. Be good. Be safe. Great night of sports tonight. Of course, full football docket tomorrow. Until next weekend. Heart and Cattles, no heart today, just Cattles. We'll talk to you. Be good.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.